in Romans chapter 14, verses 13 through 23. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I had been accused of yelling sometimes from the pulpit, which I didn't realize that that happens. And she very kindly said, I wouldn't say that you actually yell. You just sometimes get really excited and don't come back down. I'm telling you about that because I'm warning you today that I'm already a little bit excited. We had a wonderful Sunday school class, and so I'm starting ready to go. As we talked about the purpose, the entire purpose for us not being here, okay? It's important for us to remember that the best thing for us would be that we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and then all of a sudden transformed by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and guaranteed a place in heaven, we were gone to be with Him. But He leaves us here. He leaves us here to go, Jesus, when are we going to come and be with you? When is that going to happen? And the entire reason that He does that is so that when we go to be with Him, we can bring others with us. That's the only reason we're still here. And so when we look at Romans chapter 14 and remember that there's something going on here, we have Jews and Gentiles attending the same church, meeting together, worshiping together, fellowshipping together, and because of their different cultures and different beliefs about the law, there's a little bit of tension. And so Paul is writing and instructing them on how they are supposed to live with and deal with this tension. All right? So Romans chapter 14, verses 13 through 23 says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything indeed is clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Dear Lord, as we have begun to endeavor in your word to understand it, to make application from it, to follow in obedience, I pray that in the response that we have and in the words that I share in interpretation of your scriptures, that you would be honored and glorified. And that as a result of today, we would be walking in a closer relationship with you and in greater fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's remember about this collision of cultures and ethnicities. The Jews, who have been following the law and have been obedient to the law and have been surrendered to the law are having a hard time giving up what they have practiced as lifestyle once they get saved. And the Gentiles who have been who have not known God, who have not followed God, who have not believed in God, who have shaped gods of their own and lived in pagan religion are unsure of how they're supposed to live. It's kind of like the missionary who leaves the United States and leaves a good Bible-teaching church in the United States and goes over to a country of different origin. And they share the gospel with that individual, and they say the individuals begin to receive the gospel, and those individuals begin to get saved. And then the missionary in the middle of the jungle says, now that you're saved, when you come to church, you have to wear a shirt and collar and tie and jacket, because that's how good Christians dress when they go to church. Now, after many years of doing that kind of thing on the mission field, missionaries have realized that whether or not you wear a shirt and tie to church doesn't make you a Christian, right? And they have realized that they need to find out what it is that is not pagan in the culture and allow them to continue participating in those things, because there's nothing wrong with them. This is the situation that they find themselves in Rome, where new believers want to follow Christ and they're not sure how to do it, and the Jews are saying to them, well, let me show you how to follow Christ my way. And sometimes we get a little bit distracted by our way, forgetting that there can be a lot of different ways for us to follow Christ if we are following him according to his word. So he says to them, therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. So because we will be accountable to God for our actions in this life, that's what he said before. He says in verse 12, he says, you're going to stand before God, and he's going to be the judge. So because we will be accountable to God for our actions in this life, let's let God judge the actions of our brothers and sisters in Christ. So you should feel better about this passage of Scripture, because it's allowing you to say, all right, when it comes to the things that are not given to us specifically in Scripture, I don't have to be the judge. Now, if you're an individual who is in the position of having to tell people no very often, anytime somebody tells you that you don't have to be responsible for this thing that's going on, you go, oh, thank you, right? It's not my job. Last weekend, my sister visited with her eight children, and her eight children were doing different things around the house, as I've told you before, and they were doing things that probably I wouldn't let my children do. That's okay. But they let their children do those things, and so I didn't have to worry about instructing their children in the way that they should go. I just let them do it. And my kids said, why are you letting them do that? And I said, because they're not my kids, right? They're not my kids. So it should be a relief to us that we don't have to be the judge for every other Christian and whether or not they are following Christ the right way, all right? That's what he's telling us here. So because this is true, then let's ask ourselves, what will be for us, not for everyone else, what will be the foundation for our participation in discernment activities? All right, so discernment activities, let's make this clear. There are things in Scripture that the Scriptures say, you cannot do these things. Can we agree upon that? Right? There are things like that, all right? But there are things in Scripture that are not given to us. There are things in life that the Scriptures do not tell us, this is what you should do and this is what you should not do, all right? So he's not talking about the things that the Bible says you can't do these things. He's talking about the things that you have to make a decision about, All right? So he says, so in making those decisions, laying a foundation for discernment activities, all right? This would be things like, what am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to go? All of those things. You understand that, right? Okay. He says first, Paul says, but rather decide, all right? So first of all, in laying a foundation for making these determinations, we make conscious determinations about our participation in social activities, all right? So as believers, we don't go into social activities going, well, you know, this might be a difficult place that we're going into. I never go into a movie. Tracy and I never go into watching a movie saying, you know what, no matter what happens in this movie, I'm not leaving. All right? Sometimes we find ourselves in a movie we think was going to be a good movie, and they get into the movie and we go, ooh, I shouldn't be here. And we get up and we leave. No problem. No discussion. No issue. Why? Because we've already decided that if we find that a movie that we're watching is inappropriate, whether it be out in the theater or in our home, hey, we're going to leave, right? So we make a conscious decision. It's important for us to not fly by the seat of our pants on these issues. Say, oh, I'll figure it out later. We don't want to make the decision based on the popular trend. We don't rely on other people to decide these things for us. You know, there are websites you can go to. Speaking of movies, there are websites you can go to that will tell you. There's one called Plugged In that will tell you whether or not a movie is appropriate for your family. And there have been times when they've said a movie was inappropriate for my family, and I went, I don't think that that's that bad. And there have been times that they have said something was appropriate for my family to watch, and I went, there's no way my kids are watching that, right? So we can't rely upon other people to make those decisions for us. We need to decide for ourselves what's going to be right and what's going to be good in our lives, right? And if you have not decided what you'll do in a discernment situation before that situation arises, I'm warning you here, you will often regret or at least question the decision that you made in haste. So the first thing is we're going to make some decisions about the culture around us, about the places we're going to go and the places we're not going to go. Second, never put a stumbling block, he says. So the second foundation we're going to lay is we determine to never purposely offend a fellow believer because of our liberty. So just because I think something's okay does not mean that every Christian is going to think that that thing's okay. Do you understand that? We all have different personalities. We all have different besetting sins. There are some things that bother some of you that don't bother. I'm not tempted by them at all. All right? So, I mean, Tracy and Hendry go into a sushi bar, they have to make sure that they're not going to leave gluttons, right? And I go into a sushi bar and I say, what am I going to eat, right? So we have different things. And we need to understand that because there are different things and there are things that God has not told us yes or no about, that we have to say, okay, I have to trust that individual between themselves and God, they can make a decision about this thing. But I, knowing that I do not want to offend my brother or sister in Christ, I am not knowingly going to do this thing to them. So for instance, Tracy is not going to serve sushi as a meal at our dinner table. She's not going to do it. You know what she does every Sunday night? Every Sunday night, she buys sushi for her and Henry and Elizabeth to eat. And Charlie and I are welcomed to eat something else, right? It takes the pressure off. I'm telling you about that because We are supposed to be aware of our brothers and sisters in Christ when making these decisions. And it's not okay to say, well, I have the liberty to do this and they can't tell me no, so I'm going to do it anyways. That's not okay. We lay this foundation determining to never purposely offend a fellow believer because of our liberty, okay? Or hindrance in the way of a brother. So we determine to never cause a fellow brother, believer, to oppose us because of our liberty. He's saying here, we don't want to split the church because of our liberties. Do you understand that? And this is happening. I have a friend, a professor, an apologetics professor. He taught at Moody and taught at Calvary Seminary. And he's pastored churches. And he said, in all his years in ministry, which is probably about 50 of them, he had never seen a church split over something theological. Usually over something of discernment. So we decide as our foundation, first of all, we're going to decide ahead of time. Secondly, we're going to determine that we will not offend somebody else so that we can have our liberty. And thirdly, we're going to make sure that this does not cause a war, my liberty. So what's Paul's process of determination about these discernment activities? What's the process that he goes through? He says, first of all, I know. He says, I know. Paul has searched the scriptures and gained biblical knowledge about this subject. There's something you need to know about discernment issues, is that you shouldn't talk about those discernment issues as if you know the truth about them if you haven't studied them out for yourself. You don't go, well, I believe that because John MacArthur said it. I think, most of the time, John MacArthur says the right thing, but I'm not going to trust his word. I'm going to study the word for it. Not going to make the decisions about discernment things because of what somebody else has said. I'm going to have knowledge. Paul says, I know. So this is the starting point. The starting point in discernment issues is to read the Bible and find out what it says. Second thing, he says, and am persuaded. So the second thing is, Paul has made a firm decision before speaking to others about it. So here's something we can get in trouble for. Because Americans, and I'm talking to you as if we're all in a large pool, Americans know everything. Right? So you ask somebody about something and they don't really know what they're talking about. But they read a couple articles on Google about this thing, and they've decided that they're an expert. And they begin giving you their expert opinion about something that they don't really understand. Paul says, I've studied this thing out, and I've made a determination. I have understanded, I've made a firm decision before speaking to others about what I'm going to do. Does that make sense? So this is like my little sister, who hopefully she doesn't listen to this and we're all good. But my little sister is 7 years younger than I am. 7 years younger than I am. I had three kids when she had her first child, right? Three kids. They're growing up. And my sister, they had their first child. And all of a sudden, she became the greatest parent in the world and told us all the things that we have done wrong. Because she has one, not even one-year-old, and she knows exactly how to parent, right? I'm using that example for you because that's what we do. So before speaking to others about it, you need to know. You need to know and have made a firm decision and maybe had a little bit of experience in the thing that you're talking about. Third thing he says is, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus. Paul believes that his decision is right before God. Right? Thank you. I have a good son. Okay. Paul has decided, he's made a firm decision, and he believes, this is important, the decision that he has made is right before God. So if you are going to discern that something is okay, that the believers around you have discerned it's not okay, you better study that thing out. You better come to a firm decision. And you better be able to say, when you stand before God, you better be able to say, it was okay. God is okay with me doing this thing. You understand that? That's Paul's process for determining what discernment activities you should take part in. And what's his decision? Now listen to this. This is Paul's decision about these discernment issues, about these things that they have to deal with, which in the Roman church is whether or not to eat certain foods. He says that nothing, I've decided that nothing is unclean in itself. Paul has decided, now remember this context, nothing left to discernment, right? He's talking about discernment issues. He's not saying that everything in our world is okay. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, of these things that we have to make decisions about, nothing left to discernment is naturally sinful. That nothing is unclean in itself. So what you choose to eat is not sinful in itself. You go eat what you want to eat. What you choose to drink is not sinful in itself. You go drink what you choose to drink. Where you decide to go. Can I tell you, when I was a kid, I grew up in a very conservative church. My dad was a very conservative pastor. Our favorite place to eat was Pizza Hut. We would eat there every week, if not twice a week, right? We loved it. And something happened one day, because we could go to Pizza Hut, but there was a strict rule in our household, in our church, that we would not go to a restaurant that served alcohol, period. And guess what they started doing at Pizza Hut? They started serving alcohol. And so all of a sudden, the rules had to change. Because we came to the realization that restaurants were going to start serving alcohol, and there wouldn't be many places that we could go if we stuck with that decision, right? So by the time I was in high school, we were going to Pizza Hut, and they were serving alcohol, and we just weren't drinking ourselves. The reason I tell you that is there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't go into a place where they're serving alcohol and eat food. Right? It doesn't say that. It was a discernment thing, but we had decided as a church, as a fellowship, we had decided that, or the adults had decided that this is law. You don't do this thing. And if we can't come out of a restaurant that was serving alcohol, then we were leaving like with stuff over our heads and all that. Paul says to us, nothing left to discernment is naturally sinful. So there is nothing that God has caused us to have to make a decision for ourselves about that is in its very nature wrong. Okay? But it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. All right? So, clear this up for you. Anything that we take part in while thinking it's sinful becomes sinful for us. I told you, we grew up in a very conservative church background. So we didn't go to movies, we didn't go to dances, we didn't do any of those things. And my dad grew up not being able to play playing cards, right? Now, some of you have that. You can't. You're like, nope, I can't do it. I can't play playing cards. I can't use those cards. They're used for gambling, and they're bad. In my house, we use playing cards. In my parents' house, they use playing cards. Everybody but my dad. Why? Because he's practicing this. He's practicing this thing, practicing what Paul says here. If it's unclean for anyone, it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. He says, I can't believe that it's okay. It's too ingrained. So he doesn't participate. For him, using those cards would be sin. You understand that? It's not sin for anybody else in the room, but if he used the cards, it would be sin. Because he would be going against his conscience. You got that? So here's some important considerations in determining this issue. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love, but by what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. So important considerations about discernment issues. The first one, there are times in which the things we have freedom to take part in negatively affect those we love. There are times that there are things that you do when you're going to see another brother or sister in Christ. You can't do that thing because you are going to cause them either to stumble, to sin themselves, or to be offended. And so you go to that brother or sister careful. So there are times in which the things we have freedom to take part in negatively affect those we love. And if we participate in those things knowing we are hurting that person, then we're not living the way Jesus has commanded us to live. So you say, hey, I have freedom to go see this genre of movies. And your best friend says, oh, I can't do that. And every time you get together with them, you talk about that movie that you saw, this, how awesome it is, and you're grating at them. You are not walking the way Jesus asked us to walk. That's the problem. The problem isn't that you've discerned that you can watch these movies. The problem is that you're not loving your brother or sister in Christ because you keep bringing it up when they're around. So you're no longer walking in love. So he says, this is our instruction in this, do not allow your participation in what you know is not prohibited. All right? So those things that you've decided, it's okay for me to do this thing. So do not allow your participation in what you know is not prohibited by God be the reason another follower of Christ is ruined. This is where we get in trouble. This is why we have churches in town that are conservative and churches in town that are very contemporary. It's because one group said, hey, I'm not budging. You cannot live that way. Even though it's a discernment issue. And the contemporary people said, you can't tell me how to live. And it causes a rift, causes a problem, not based on anything theological, but based upon our opinions, our discernment about things. He says, do not allow another believer in Christ to be ruined because of your opinion. How often I run into people who do not any longer attend the church because somebody came after them about something that was a discernment issue and they fled. He says, I can't do this thing. Paul says, don't allow that to happen, neither by your liberty or by your law. We have to be better than that. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. So what you're doing when you allow something like this to cause a rift in your relationship with other believers, a discernment issue, when you allow it to become a rift between you and other believers, You're taking something that was good and making it evil. Paul says, don't do that. Don't take something that God says, hey, it's okay for you to enjoy this. Rub it in the face of other believers and turn it into something that's evil. It's a hard attitude. It's a hard issue. It's a problem. Paul says, don't create that a problem by participating in something good by making that thing evil. We don't need to create any problems in the church. Would you agree with that? Right? That Satan's working hard enough against us. We don't need to help him out. Now, when discerning what you should take part in, we got to keep our priorities straight. So when we're discerning what we should do, all right, so Pastor, it sounds like I have to find the most conservative friend that I have, and I have to do everything that they do because otherwise I'd be guilty of offending them, right? No, that's not what Paul's saying. So how do we do this? How do we discern what we should take part in and keep these priorities straight? Here they are. For the kingdom of God, first of all, the establishment of Christ Jesus' rule in the lives of those around us is the priority of every disciple's life. The first thing you have to consider is this thing that I'm doing hindering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's first. There are things that we are allowed to participate in that we can't participate in because they may hinder the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the culture within in which we live. We got to be careful. That's first. Is this going to hinder the gospel? Tracy and I have made many discernment decisions over the years based on this very thing. Not is it right or wrong, not is it what we want to do, not is it going to be offensive, but is it going to affect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The second, we need to remember the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. So we got to remember that the kingdom of God is not built on those discernible things we take part in. So we have to remember that what we do with these discernible things doesn't really matter. It's not that big a deal. Don't stress out about it and make it the center of your theological concern, because it's not theological, all right? It is not a matter of eating and drinking, he says, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, he says, the kingdom of God is built on these things, choosing to do what is right before God. If we could all just wake up every morning and say, all right, what would God have me do today? And then keep that mindset through the whole day, we wouldn't have to have this discussion at all. But the truth is, we are fallen, sinful individuals who constantly lose our way. The kingdom of God is built upon these things, choosing what is right before God. So we want to, when we have the mind to do it, we want to choose what God would have us do. It is choosing to participate in those things which bring peace with others. It is choosing to operate in such a way that we are not causing rifts. We are not being rebels. We are bringing peace to the situation that we are in. You know how many times I have pastors call me before they come to speak, speakers come to speak here, and they say, hey, Pastor Chad, how do I need to dress? Because I want to make sure that the way that I dress does not cause anyone to stumble. That's right. Choose to participate in those things which bring peace with others, and choosing to find joy in God rather than in things. Where we get in trouble is we go, oh, I got to give up this thing for the Lord. I'm going to sacrifice it. It is so terrible and awful, but I'm still going to do it because Jesus is the most important thing in my life. No, he's not. Not by that attitude. He says to us, find your joy in God. And then these things that we may have to give up pursuing for the sake of the kingdom of God, they're really not that big a deal. I remember in college, there was this time in which I was thinking about going to the Ivory Coast to be a missionary. And the great concern upon the minds of us college freshmen was how we were going to get Mountain Dew to the Ivory Coast. And not being able to get it there was going to be a deal breaker for some of us. It has to not be what we want. Our joy has to be upon bringing joy to God. Who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men when we choose the kingdom of Christ over ourselves. This is what happens. We do what God desires. Anytime I say Jesus is more important than the thing that I want to do, I get the praise of God. They're acceptable to God. How many of you want to be acceptable to God? You want to be acceptable to me? I want to be acceptable to God. I want him to be happy with me. And we gain the respect of those who are watching. The world does not often use individuals who have been faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in their words and their lives as targets for their rage. Because even those who are sinners around them can't help but respect them. Did you know that? There are those people who will go to war with us. But for the majority of people, you live your Christian life the way that God intends for you to live your Christian life, and you will not only have God's pleasure, you will also have the admiration of those individuals who are around you. So how do I respond to this? Quickly. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. So, first thing, priority, pursue what builds up the body of Christ. That's what we pursue. Don't pursue what you want. Pursue what builds up the body of Christ. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. So don't allow your personal preferences get in the way of God's work in the body of Christ. Everything, Paul says, is indeed clean. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Remember, there isn't anything sinful about participating in these things that we have talked about. So these discernment issues, if you've decided before God that they're okay, there's nothing sinful about them. It is wrong to participate in that thing if it damages a fellow believer. So if your participation in that is going to damage somebody else, cut it out. And it is good when we give up our preferences for the good of others. There can be differences between what we do privately and what we do publicly. This is important. We get in real trouble because there's this word that floats around Christianity called being a hypocrite. And we have that phrase, somebody says, hey, the church is full of hypocrites. And we say, well, come and join us. You'll fit right in, right? We define that word incorrectly because it's not hypocritical to privately do things that we believe before God are okay. It's hypocritical to say that I don't participate in those things and do them anyways. You understand the difference there? The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. So do those things which you believe are permissible when others will not be offended. So say, listen, if you know that there are individuals who are going to be offended by the things that you do, then do them in private. If you really can say before God there's nothing wrong with them, then there's nothing wrong with them, but do them in private. Nobody has to know, nobody has to see. Paul says it's between you and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. So take joy in the permissions you can give yourself to enjoy those things. So, hey, if God says, if you determine from the scriptures that something is okay, enjoy that thing. Quit making excuses. I talk to individuals who they buy, and I remember talking to a missionary, they bought a nice car. And everywhere they went, when they talked about this nice car, they didn't talk about how God had provided this thing for them. They made sure everybody knew that they got a good deal on it. And they could never enjoy that thing because they thought it was too nice. Say, hey, look, if the Lord gave you permission to buy that car and enjoy it. Be careful, though not, to bring judgment upon yourself, believing that what you have done is wrong. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. But if you do that thing, and you think that that thing is sinful, shame on you. Even if there is a doubt. Because the eating of it is not from faith. That's why. Because you're doing it thinking that it is wrong, thinking that you're being disobedient to God. So what do you do that is permissible? Must be done by faith. Believing that God is pleased with your actions. Everything you do, you say, all right, would the Lord be pleased with what I'm doing right now? For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. He says, if it is not from faith, then what you call permissible is actually sin. So how do we deal with these discernment issues? We have a relationship with the Lord. We have a relationship with the Scriptures. We have a way of deciding what God would have us to do with these things and what things he would have us not participate in. Always, always, always considering the impact that it will have on the body of Christ.